On tonight's show, we've got game week. It is week one. Holy smokes.
Finally, finally here.
And we've got a new segment. Hashtag know your enemy.
Know your enemy.
We're talking interviews, picks, and analysis by both sides.
This week's game of the week is Mississippi State and Louisiana in the Superdome.
And we've got best bets. Ugh. Could be hairy.
Let's not talk about last week.
Yeah.
Actually, let's do.
Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slide, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Yeah, those best bets, man. There's a reason why they call it the preseason. The Saints never win preseason games, and apparently Thomas doesn't either.
I can never pick them. I mean, if this is anything to go on, I guess I'm going to have an okay season, knock on wood. But, like, that was awful. Luckily, you, Colin, and you, the fans, didn't do too much better.
Yeah, everybody kind of did bad, apparently. We had no idea Colgate was just not the option.
I guess
Crest is the better option than Colgate.
Yeah, I still got cavities after watching that game.
There you go. And then our beloved one Alabama team that played.
Samford, come on, guys.
Too many turnovers, man. They had turnover galore. And then that Miami-Florida game was just, oh my.
Don't even talk about that. Lord. Y'all picked that one. That was the one y'all got correct.
We did get that
which,
one.
Which, I mean, I told y'all, I was like, I think Florida's going to win it, but I'm going to take Miami just in case.
Yeah.
And I said, if I had
You were almost
them,
right.
I did say if I take them with the points,
mm-hmm.
And I would have been right.
Mm-hmm. I think I called the score. I'm pretty sure. I think I said the score was going to be like a 24-20
you know what?
Game.
You know what? Y'all should go back and find out. And if he's wrong, blast him on Twitter.
Yeah, blast me again for being...
That's at Colin Cahill. is it 13?
Just Colin Cahill 13.
At Colin Cahill 13. I'm at Thomas Gleaton. We are the Bench Boys.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We are the Bench Boys.
At the OG Bench Boys on Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow us on Facebook. We are on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher.
I don't know what that is.
If there's a place... that iHeartRadio, if there's a place that does podcasts, we are there. If we're not there and you want us to be, let us know. Regardless, let's get back to this last week's picks.
Yeah, that last game, though, the one that was...
The one that we've been leading up to, that was such a good game. I am so glad I was able to stay up for it. I got home, and it was like the second half, so I was able to watch all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that... Oh, my goodness.
I don't think Cole McDonald's changed. I think Cole McDonald is still the same guy that just slings it around. Like, I feel like he might be just... Is he a Colt Brennan with longer hair?
I guess so.
Is that what he is?
I guess so.
That's what it feels like.
I don't know what's in the water over there. But
it's incredible. Can we get that offense, like, in the Sun Belt? Like, all week, all year long? Like
good night.
It was fun to watch.
It was very fun.
I mean, he literally threw, I think, 4 interceptions... But had like 5 touchdown passes.
Yep, that's exactly it.
It's like NCAA
somebody,
stats right there.
I saw a tweet last week. Somebody literally said, Cole McDonald's going to throw 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And you know what? They did a better job on that prediction than we did on, and than I did on any of my picks.
Oh, I mean, that like you just didn't know what was going to happen with the ball. You're like, okay, it's either going to be a touchdown, it's going to be a 50-yard bomb, or it's going to be an interception.
Yep.
That's basically what it boiled down to at one point.
And those coin flip games are so much fun to watch.
Oh, dude, the last play of the game was incredible. Like, one, there's a lot of people that talked about it, but mad props. And that kid should get helmet stickers for the rest of the year. But the defensive lineman, who was upfield at the start of the play, upfield, comes back down and makes the runs 40 yards and tackles Khalil Tate from behind.
If we can give out like a hustle award.
Holy smokes, he's got
like
it.
A Ben on Sports hustle award.
There you go. Ben on Sports hustle award. I love it.
We're going to give it to that defensive lineman because good night. Did he, like,
I mean, never given up on a play. That's what you
he
preach.
He literally saved the game.
Yeah.
He literally saved the game.
Like, because Khalil Tate's breaking out of that one tackle.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting out of that first tackle, and then the guy comes up from behind him and tackles him right at the 1 yard line of all things. Like, incredible, incredible. And of course, we love it because G5.
Of course.
Already getting a win over the big boys in the first week. We'll take it. So,
and
no.
There's a group of five team right now that is 1-0.
Yeah.
And they may be thousands of miles away.
Probably.
But they're group of five and they're 1-0.
It counts. We'll take it. So, incredible week. Not such an incredible week for us, but it's preseason. You got to get the rust off somehow.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
Shake
we'll
it
back.
Off. Shake it off.
So. And let's get started right now with our. I'm so excited to do this. This is part of the big restructuring thing that we've been doing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the game of the week.
Know your enemy.
It is our favorite segment. This is the one that we've been dying to get to. It is the hashtag Know Your Enemy game of the week between the Mississippi State Bulldogs and the Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
All the way down to New Orleans in the Superdome, kicking the season off right.
In the dome. In the dome. We are super excited for this. This is our featured game of the week. We're going to be doing this every week. We're going to give you guys some analysis, our analysis. But first, we talk to each side. For this week, it'll be Mississippi State and Louisiana. And obviously, we're a little busy.
Yeah, we have jobs. We have real jobs we got to keep down, you know, paying bills kind of thing.
Somehow pay the bills. So obviously, we caught up with these guys on the phone a little earlier today. First, we got Mississippi State.
Joel Coleman, the Mississippi State sports beat reporter, also works with the Starkville Daily, and is also the co-host of Thunder and Lightning. And I guess the first question is, Thunder and Lightning, can you explain a little bit about the Thunder and Lightning?
Oh, yeah. That was an easy one. You lobbed me a softball to start this thing. Thunder and Lightning, for longtime college baseball fans, that's Rafael Palmeiro and Will Clark when they were at Mississippi State in the same lineup together. They were Thunder and Lightning together. Now they're statues right outside of MSU's baseball stadium, Judy Noble Field. And, Thunder and Lightning, and that verbiage has a humongous place in Mississippi State lore. So whenever we began the podcast, and I actually kind of replaced another guy on this podcast, and so he ended up changing the name. But when it came time to find a new name, it fit perfectly. Thunder and Lightning, maybe the greatest duo in Mississippi State athletic hero in Mississippi State athletic history, with Palmeiro and Clark.
Oh, yeah. I remember... Now that you talk about it, I remember seeing, you know, when they made their national championship run, they brought up those two a lot, being some of the best baseball players ever to come through Starkville. So,
I believe there's still comes on every now and then on SEC Network. There's an SEC Network special entitled Thunder and Lightning. So, yeah, we stole it a little bit, but it's caught on, and people around here seem to appreciate the names.
Yeah, I got you. All right, well, I guess the first thing is first question. You guys are you're no stranger to playing some Sunbelt schools. What when you guys see a Sunbelt school, you know, on the schedule, obviously over the past 10 years, has your view of playing teams out of the Sunbelt changed at all when you stack up against teams out of the Sunbelt Conference?
Well, for the last 10 years, ever since Dan Mullen came in 2009, which is, everybody knows he's down in Florida now, but since he came along, Mississippi State has, for the most part, always won the games they're supposed to win, kind of thing. So, for all these parts, you ask anybody that lives from Mississippi State or at Mississippi State, I mean, these are games they expect to win, bottom line. I think when people around here start changing up the pathway to bowl eligibility and everything else, by and large, I guess maybe it's patting that big bad SEC logo on the chest or something, but it's one of those deals where they expect to win. And it doesn't really matter who's on the other side of the equation there. against the Sun Belt again. It may be that SEC braggadocious mentality, but it's always kind of looked at preseason as that should be a W. That said, it wasn't but 10 years ago or so that when Sylvester Croom was running things in Mississippi State, that there was no game that was an automatic around here. In the last decade or so, though, it's become a thing where pretty much every non-conference game, to be honest with you, for the most part, people look at it as a game that should be won. Because they hadn't really branched out and played just a ton of named teams in their non-conference schedule over the last 10 years. I mean, you could pick out one or two here or there, but most times against the Sun Belt opponent, everyone's kind of putting that in a W column before it's even played. Now, we'll see if that happens. Okay. Got to win it on the field, but that's usually the mentality going into this game.
Well, let's get on to your team. You know, first of all, new quarterback, obviously, I think he's a Joe Moorhead kind of follower that, you know, comes from Penn State, Tommy Stevens. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, he's a big kid, 6'5", I think, and can you talk a little bit about what is to be expected with Tommy Stevens?
Yeah, he is a guy that played under Joe Moorhead at Penn State for his first couple of seasons there. Of course, Moorhead was the offensive coordinator at Penn State, and Tommy was under his tutelage for a couple of years before Joe came to start for in Mississippi State. And, of course, Tommy was still at Penn State last year. Was going to go into this past spring and compete for the starter's job and ended up, I don't know if relationships fell apart or what happened down there, but decided to be a grad transfer and, of course, had the prior relationship with Joe Moorhead and ended up in Starkville. And the interesting component of the whole deal was Keaton Johnson was kind of the heir apparent to be the Mississippi State quarterback this year. You know, Nick Fitzgerald's been the quarterback the last 3 years, but Thompson was kind of going to be that next guy. But 2 years, Fitzgerald and Thompson were both Dan Mullen recruits. They were both Dan Mullen-style quarterbacks to run Dan Mullen's offense. And Joe Moorhead's offense, which is built around explosive plays, kind of stretch the field a little bit now and then, it requires a more precise passer than what Nick Fitzgerald was even though Fitz had success with his legs. He wasn't that kind of passer. And Thompson's kind of that same mold. He's a really good runner, but he's, in my opinion, not quite the passer that Joe Moorhead needs. Tommy Stevens, though, is a guy that Joe Moorhead has to run his offense at Penn State. He's a guy that is a, if you want to call him a Joe Moorhead guy, he is a Joe Moorhead guy. He is a guy that Mississippi State believes can be a more precise passer. I think that with Tommy Stevens at quarterback, you're going to see a Mississippi State offense going to try to close the ball down the field a little bit more than if anybody watched the State last year. That didn't happen a ton because of Fitzgerald's limitations throwing the ball. But that's how Tommy can run a little bit too. I mean, when he was at Penn State, he played receiver some and everything else because, I mean, he was, you know, lost out on QB battles to Trace McSorley and such. So he was on the field doing different things at Penn State.
Yeah.
He's an athlete now. He's not just a thrower. But I do think that he won this quarterback competition over Thompson because Mississippi State feels he is the passer that this offense needs.
The last question we got, and this is obviously, this would be, you know, this because we're a Group of Five podcast, but if on Sunday morning, God forbid for you guys, if you wake up and it says Mississippi Bulldogs upset by you all, by the Raging Cajuns, what would have to happen for that headline to be seen on Sunday in your eyes?
I think it kind of starts with Tommy Stevens putting a little too much pressure on himself. I think that's one area that you can kind of look at. Like I was mentioning a while ago, I mean, I know that if I was stepping into this situation that he is, my heart rate would be up a little bit. I'd be wanting to prove that I did deserve the starting job and that I was worth betting on for Joe Moorhead and that whole 9 yards. I'd have a little extra pressure on myself. And, I kind of want to come to show how I want in the NFL stadium, my first start, things. It leads you to believe there's at least a chance. And I know we're talking about a mature kid here. You know, this is grad transfer and all that. But human nature, you're led to believe that there's at least a chance he comes out and talk to us if he thinks he's hunting and maybe throws a pick or two. And that's what it boils down to me, because no matter who's the better team in this game, and I don't think anyone, you know, kind of top to bottom, recruiting stars, whatever you want to look at.
Oh, yeah.
The team with the most talent in this game is Mississippi State. But the great equalizer, anytime you're looking for an upset or anything, is those turnovers. And if Tommy Stevens does well, and he's a little tight, or he's trying to do a little too much, and he's a little too much air under a ball or two, or tries to throw in just some coverage, you think he can, you know, jam it in there, and then he gets picked off. Or, you know, you can run up the scenarios here where there's a few extra turnovers, and when that's the case, all bets are on. And I think for me, this sounds so elementary football, you know, win the turnover battle and turn into the game. But if the Cajuns can get a few extra turnovers in this game, look out. I mean, they would be in it. That said, as a Sailor, I'm going to think the most talented team. I mean, there's no way I would predict State to lose this game. But if on Sunday morning they have lost, I would be willing to bet it's because Lafayette, you know, was at least +2 in the turnover battle.
That's a good answer. Well, sweet. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Joel. It's been interesting hearing about the thunder and lightning of Starkville, and also, you know, learning a little bit about the Bulldogs. And I know it's going to be a tough game for UL, and we'll see what happens. But you know, I think it'll be a really fun game for both these, you know, programs to play in New Orleans. So, but again, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll get back with you maybe on Sunday, depending on what the score is.
All right. Hey, anytime you guys can, I'll do my best to try to get it in, bud.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, thank you for that. That was great. That was, you know, perfect. We might trim it down to about 10 minutes or so like that, but all of it was really fun. So, but again, thank you so much for coming out and talking with us for a little bit, and we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to do it, man. Anytime you need anything,
you know, I think his analysis is really good. I mean, turnovers, you win the turnover battle, you're going to win the game. I think Tommy Stevens, first year starting quarterback here.
Yeah.
I think he hit that on the head too, is if he gets pressured, you know, you don't know what type of game that offense could have. So,
and that's a big way for Louisiana to get an edge, is to throw him off mentally and get him to make those mistakes. You were saying something about off the mic, how you thought something about their returning production.
Mm-hmm.
They were returning more than you thought they were.
Yeah. You know, he kind of brought to light, you know, their defense, they lost those three draft picks, but let's face it, they're not going to be that good. But it's not like they're not going to be a good defense. This is still a Mississippi State team that's going to have a solid defense. They've had pretty solid defenses for the past 3 years now. They're going to have a solid, you know, they lose one of their best safeties over the past 10 years. Guess what? The guy got his chance because the guy ahead of him got hurt, and that guy's coming back. So I don't think they missed too much of a beat in this game.
I agree with you. Let's go down now to Lafayette and see what they think.
Cody Juno out of Lafayette, Louisiana, out of ESPN 1420, also a beat reporter, and pretty much a lifelong Raging Cajun. Am I right, Cody?
Yeah, born and raised here in Lafayette, and graduated from UL a little while ago now. So yeah, it's a pretty cool gig to wake up every morning and, you know, get to talk about the Cajuns.
Now, I mean, you guys have got, I mean, last year you had a three-headed monster. You get them back basically again this year. What should we expect, the same style of football play with these three guys? I mean, is the offense going to run through these three guys, or has anything changed?
Yeah, well, you have a new quarterback, Levi Lewis, a junior out of Scotlandville, Baton Rouge area. He's going to come in and take over. He played every fourth series a year ago. Levi Lewis got the majority of the reps. Andre Nunez got the majority of the reps, and Levi Lewis would come in every fourth series. It's Levi's show this year. You know, listening to Billy Napier, it sounds like there's not going to be a rotation. So it's going to be his show. Now, he brings a little bit of a different game than Andre Nunez did, the fact that he's got his feet. And so we'll see how they incorporate that into the running game a little bit more. But no, I think you fully expect this offense to run through Regus Mitchell, Kale, and look out for a guy named Chris Smith, a redshirt freshman who's got speed to burn. You know, one of Billy Napier's biggest challenges this season as he calls plays is going to be figuring out a way to get each of those guys the football and to get them enough touches. You know, you're talking about a trio that ran for nearly 3,000 yards. They scored 28 touchdowns on the ground. And then, oh, by the way, they pitched in and they, you know, caught five touchdowns and for 647 yards, you know, as a trio. So they can beat you both ways. And then I think you add the dynamic of the quarterback run game along with a pretty experienced offensive line coming back. And it has the makings of, you know, a pretty exciting offense. And we haven't even talked about the weapons on the outside. But, no, I think when you look at this offense, the Cajuns are going to have to run the ball to do anything else that they're going to want to do. And they have, you know, the horses in the stable to do that.
I mean, and let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I'm looking, you know, last year, you guys giving up right around 200 yards rushing a game and, you know, 200 passing. Where's the improvement that you've seen for this defense over, you know, over the off season, and where do you think that they're going to excel, you know, I guess in this game?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. As prolific as the rushing attack was for Louisiana offensively, it was the same defensively, right? So whatever they were gaining, they were giving up. And if we know how good that rush offense was, it tells you how bad that rush defense was a year ago. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be key for defense coordinator Ron Roberts and his crew. Look, I think they're healthier along that the defensive front. It's going to go a long way. You know, Benny Higgins, Zion Hill, clogging up the middle. You get a guy like Joe Dillon back, a 2016 freshman All-American player by USA Today. He missed all of the 2018 season with the injury. He's back. You pair him with a guy who got some playing time as the season progressed, a sophomore in Chris Moncrief. Those two guys are going to fly off the edge. In fact, Coach Billy Napier released the depth chart Wednesday night, and Chris Moncrief was listed as the starter at basically the outside linebacker position. The Cajuns call it the Jack in their 3-4 scheme, opposite of Chauncey Manak, a guy out of Garden City Community College who came on as the year progressed for Louisiana a season ago.
Yeah,
so
I
say all of that to tell you this, that the ability of the defensive front to slow down the run and then get some pressure on the quarterback is going to help out a really secondary that returns a number of guys but is still relatively young. You got a guy, Michael Jacquet, who is a senior, but he's going to be entering his second year of playing defensive back. You know, you had a true freshman in Eric Garrard a year ago play corner. He's back. So they've got that experience, but they're still relatively young, and they're going to rotate a number of guys out there on that back end. But, you know, the point is they've got to be able to stop the run, and I think they feel like they're healthy enough inside to do that at a much higher rate. Because we didn't even talk about the linebackers, you know, Jacques Boudreaux and Farrar Gardner, who, if the guys up front do their job, those two guys will clean up a number of tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Boudreaux. He had 93 total tackles. He had almost 100 tackles last year. I mean, that guy seems to be a tackling machine up front. Now, we talked with Joel Coleman from Mississippi State earlier, and we asked him kind of the same question about, you know, what Mississippi State, you know, when they see a Sun Belt team on their schedule, how they, what their mindset is. But for us Sun Belt teams, you know, when we play games like this is, I mean, these are big games for us. One, they're money games because, you know, the university is obviously picking up a lot of money. But two, I mean, this is, we get to kind of a, you know, put up, shut up type thing when we go out and play in these games. You know, what do you view this game, have these games changed at all in the last 10 years? Do you think they're more competitive? Where do you think the Sun Belt kind of stands in these games now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look across the board, they're certainly more competitive. You know, South Alabama 2 years ago, you know, went into Mississippi State and beat them. You know, look at what Troy's done over the last couple of years, beating LSU, beating Nebraska. You know, you go back to 2010 or so, early part of this decade. And, you know, you see the Oklahoma State and the Missouri upsets. I think the bottom line is that the Sun Belt Conference, it's still fighting a perception that it's the worst group of five league in America, and that's simply not true. You know, when you look at, for example, the S&P rankings that Bill Shee, formerly of SB Nation, now over at ESPN, great things up on Wednesday, talking about the S&P and where these conferences rank, and the Sun Belt Conference is outside of the American Athletic and the Mountain West, the next best group of five league, and not close when you look at what the numbers tell you. So that's one aspect of it. For Louisiana, look, the Cajuns have got to play better. You know, 56-10 beating last year at Mississippi State, and you know Billy Napier's big talking point all week has been control what we can control. And what I mean by that is you go back and you dive into the box score from last season's game, and the Cajuns moved the ball early, and they were having some success and then balled down, and we know how good the Mississippi State defense was. But they were 4 of 13 on third down. Conversely, Mississippi State was 8 for 11. On fourth down, Louisiana was 1 of 4, and Mississippi State was 1 of 1, converting the only try that they had. You know, Mississippi State held Louisiana to 65 yards rushing. We just talked about how prolific the rushing attack was. This same team, 2 weeks later, went to Tuscaloosa and ran for 200 yards. For me, when I look at this game, it's all about consistency and just, you know, not beating yourself. And that's been the message that Billy Napier has preached all week. And, look, I think that Coach Napier said this week, there's guys on this roster that can play anywhere in the SEC. And I think that's very true. And so it's a question of can they go out and show it? You know, when something goes wrong, can you overcome that adversity? And look, Mississippi State's going to have to deal with the same thing. But I think, you know, I'll tell you this, there's no moral victory, right? If the Cajuns, you know, they're a three-touchdown underdog, if they cover, there's no moral victory there. But I think from a fan's perspective, it's can you come out, be competitive, find yourself in a ball game late, find a way to win it.
That's perfect analogy right there. Sunday morning, you know, you wake up, you see on the the newspaper in the morning or headline, it says, you know, UL knocks off the Bulldogs. Is there three things real quick, you know, that you know the Cajuns have to do on Saturday in order to make that happen?
Well, look, I think it's just like any other football game. Got to win a turnover battle, right? The two teams were even a year ago, 1-1. Cajuns have to find a way to be plus one, probably plus two. And then I think that the other thing is, Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Remember those numbers I gave you a little bit earlier on third and fourth down? Find a way to convert those. And conversely, don't allow Mississippi State, who was 8 of 11 on third down, and most of those were third and longs, by the way. You know, get off of the field when you're on defense. Stay on the field as an offense. And then lastly, don't hurt yourself in special teams. You know, don't have an easy give up. That ties back into the turnovers, but those special teams turnovers can be big, big game changers.
I mean, that's pretty much tail of the tape right there. Well, Cody, thank you so much for coming on the show. Obviously, Cody Juno with ESPN 1420 out of Lafayette, Louisiana, homegrown type of kid. We are definitely going to look forward to hearing from you more often in the season. Hopefully, you know, because we're going to be covering a couple of Louisiana schools. But again, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Absolutely enjoyed it.
Well, again, Cody Juno, thank you for taking the time to come on the show. I like his analysis too, specifically the ending of what they have to do. I mean, he's kind of the same mentality of you've got to win the turnover game, limit your own turnovers, don't do anything stupid, play smart on special teams. Yeah, it's a lot of coach speak. But what he said early on in the interview is what kind of struck me was that the fact that they played them last year and they had 60-something yards rushing. And this was a team that averaged almost 220 yards rushing. That's why you got flattened. Like, and so if they can run the ball and they have three running backs, and he even talked about a fourth that they might even have, if they've got that, like, they need to stick to their guns and be able to run the ball. And if they can do that, I think that's a good...
they're not obviously not the triple option, but we know that they are capable of some monstrous gains and some monstrous production on the ground. It all just goes back to that keeping your own shoes clean, I guess. I don't know how better. That's not a better analogy for that. That's an awful analogy. But the point is,
play a clean game.
If they keep their mistakes to a minimum and take advantage of the mistakes Mississippi State gives them, they will stay in this game. Mm-hmm. But that, I feel like that's getting a little too in depth. So let's just go ahead and jump into it, though. Let's get into our best bets.
Best bets.
Yep, you heard it right. It's best bets. Game of the week, obviously, is the one we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so. And this is where we dive into it. And to be honest with you, we kind of talked about it in the interview. Cody kind of brought it to light. You're a team that, yeah, you're running for 218 yards, but your defense is giving up 219 yards. That's literally what their stats were last year. They were also giving up 216 yards in the air. They couldn't stop anybody. Like, they were just a bad defense last year. You're giving up 200 yards over the air and 200 yards on the ground. People are just picking you apart. And that was Louisiana's downfall last year, was they could not just stop somebody. And he talked about it last year, too. Mississippi State goes 8 of 11 on third down. Like, that's – you're not going to win ball games when there's teams that are going 8 of 11 on third down. That is almost near perfection right there. So that's a big thing. They've got to be able to get Mississippi State off the field. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Troy Homer, but the way Neil Brown approached these games – and I'm sorry if you're not a Troy fan right now – and be pissed at what I'm about to say, but the way Neil Brown approached these games, it was ball control. He slowed down Troy's offense. I mean, and just went methodical. And it was even like little meticulous things of, all right, it's fourth down. I'm going to run this clock down all the way to 2 seconds before I get this punt off. It's little things like that coaching staff did. Okay, your drive stalls, waste some time. Like if you're backed up inside the 20-yard line, okay, you might not get a first down, but waste some clock. You know, don't let them have the ball for longer than you. And I think that was Neil Brown's, one of his main things, and that's, if you look at the LSU game, if you look at the Nebraska game, you look at time of possession, that's what these teams in the Sun Belt, that I feel like we try to be outside of our shoes way too much. Georgia Southern did it great a couple years back when they beat Florida. They didn't throw the ball once. They didn't try to be something they weren't. They held on to the ball. They did. They had like maybe one or two turnovers in the game, but they controlled the clock. And that's what I think. If they can run, and Louisiana has three running backs that can run the ball, you run the ball, you establish the line, and you just play slow. Don't play fast. Control the game. And I think if more teams took that mindset into these games, I think you slow the game down, it's an even match.
Well, I completely agree with you on that, but that's also part of the benefit of running the triple option, is that you have the ability. The way it's set up is you do control the clock. You do control how fast you play. You do control what you want to do. Just to go back to one of your points real quick, you said they gave up a lot, something about giving up points. They gave up 17 points to Grambling. They gave up 22 points to Georgia State. Mm-hmm. And they gave up 24 points to Tulane. Those are the three lowest numbers. They gave up 26 to Troy. They gave up 38 points to South Alabama. Mm. South Alabama and New Mexico State, they both gave up 38 points. Mm. They gave up 28 points to Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, so they're just you got to keep people off the scoreboard.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and no matter what your offense does, you got to be able to do that.
Yeah. I'm going back to this time position. Yeah, they don't run the triple option at Louisiana. Neither did Troy. We ran out of the gun too. That's what UL does. I'm looking at time of possession in the LSU game. Troy 35 minutes, LSU 25. They held the ball for 10 more minutes than what LSU did. If you keep the ball in your hands, you don't make turnovers, you can win games. Let's face it, Mississippi State got – Joel said it great. Mississippi State has the better team. They recruit better, obviously. So what do you got to do? You got to keep those guys off the field. And that's how Louisiana is going to win this game. If you keep their offense off the field and if you contain the ball, they can win the game. That's as simple as that.
Slow and steady wins the race.
That's what I think. But they have the makeup for it. They have a guy who can run the ball 25 times.
They have three guys who can run the ball 25 times.
Yeah. I mean, it's
so
there.
Much fresh legs that Louisiana may as well adopt the triple option.
I'm not trying to be this cliche guy here, but your best defense might be your offense. Just keeping their offense off the field. That might be your best defense. It's just holding on to the ball, taking control of the clock, and being meticulous. And if you get a turnover, that's huge. I mean, that's literally what I'm not trying to be that guy. Go take a page out of Troy's book, man. I mean, obviously they found some way to do it. So, but as for picks,
let's start with the fan vote, because the fan vote is swinging in the direction of the Cajuns. They got Louisiana picking. they're picking Louisiana 59%, and it's not like it's just one or two votes.
No, we had 30 votes.
We had 30 votes on that.
30 votes on this.
So of the 30 people, roughly 16 or 17 think Louisiana is going to win this ball game. Are you one of them?
You know, I really wanted to win, but after seeing just what they've done against Power 5 comp last 4 or 5 years, yeah, Billy Napier, this is what, year 2, year 3 for Billy Napier, I think. They're just, I don't think their defense is there. I mean, it's the first game, but they've got to make some huge strides from last year's defense. I mean, you've got to have a defense that doesn't allow 200 yards rushing a game, or people are just going to be able to do whatever they want on you. So I think Tommy Stevens, I saw Tommy Stevens a lot when he was at Penn State. Yeah, he backed up Trace McSorley, but the kid's a player. He's big time. He's big. I mean, he's a big kid. And, I mean, Mississippi State's still got some good wide receivers out there. I think Mississippi State's still a little bit too much for Louisiana. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs against the Sun Belt this week.
And I'm going to have to do that along with you. You're talking about the defense has got to get better. You're absolutely right. Just looking at the depth chart for Mississippi State, and this is our lad, so I don't know. Actually, no, this was updated yesterday. So, last night, the youngest person on Mississippi State's starting lineup for their offense is a true junior at running back. A true junior. There is
a lot of experience.
There's a lot of experience there. All these players obviously returned for this year, mm-hmm. but I don't know how many of them were starters. It doesn't matter. They are all seniors or juniors on that line, in that backfield, mm-hmm. and in that receiving core. So I got to go with the Bulldogs as well. It's just, it's not looking good.
Yeah, I mean, if he talked about more victory. They're a 3-touchdown underdog. I'm sorry. I mean, if you lost 56-10 last year, I think if you keep it within 10, I think that's good. That's good.
Right.
I think that's a good jump. I mean, it might take Napier, you know, but you're that close. I mean, yeah, you want to win all the games, but I don't see them pulling it out. I could see them covering though. If they're a 3-touchdown, I could see them being under 21 in this game. So.
All right, well, let's move on to our other picks this week. We've got South Alabama at Nebraska. This is the second time the Jaguars have been to Lincoln. You know, South Alabama's still just trying to hit that restart button. Like, they are the car sitting at the finish, at the start line, that is still trying to get the engine to rev.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them because it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. We talked about it in depth last year. Their schedule was so hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're and it doesn't get any better this year. Honestly, I think it gets worse. But the fans agree with me. The fans pick Nebraska 100%. I'm going to have to go Nebraska. Just, I know they've got Cephas Johnson back. He is the go-to guy. They've got that great tight end, Cameron Taylor. He's going to be, mm-hmm. just keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you're also looking at Scott Frost in year 2.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's my reason. It's Scott Frost year 2, and they have a healthy Adrian Martinez.
That is a big difference.
Adrian.
I'm not going to let Nebraska fans say, oh, well, y'all got away with it because of this. No, Troy went in there and played the other players just as well. But, yes, that is a big factor, And that's a big factor that I think Nebraska will take it.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's in Nebraska, obviously. And when you have a healthy Adrian Martinez, now granted, there's been some off-the-field issues with Nebraska here over the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. One of their star players, Marcus Washington, still not really sure if he's even eligible at this point. But like we said earlier, it's year two of Scott Frost. They don't lose many home openers. Nebraska doesn't. And it's going to be a different feel up there, I think, this year. And it sucks for South. You flip the script. Maybe South get them last year. They might have a better chance last year. It just fell right that Troy got them in their first year of school. That team was so bad last year.
Oh, yeah.
In 1 year, Scott Frost, obviously recruiting, and then he's just going to have Nebraska ready to play. And it's just going to be
We circled all the factors leading up to that Troy win.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Frost, backup quarterback, first-year coach. Just a whole lot of factors that went into it.
Yeah, I think too much Nebraska. It'd be nice to see Cephas throw a couple touchdowns in this game, maybe get 200 yards passing. I think there's some little moral victories that they can accomplish with maybe not winning this game.
Honestly, South Alabama did that against Oklahoma State last year. They didn't get completely blown out by Mason Rudolph.
Not like the year before.
Right. But they stayed on the field. They got, 23, 28 points? Mm-hmm. 20-something points.
Yeah.
I think if South can get 20 to 30 points this year, they'll be doing fine. But I just don't see – I don't see Nebraska giving them enough.
No.
Or I don't see South Alabama's defense holding them enough.
I think they're just playing a really improved Nebraska team. And it's just –
You're absolutely right.
Sucks. So
let's move over to Arkansas. We got SMU at Arkansas State.
Yeah, this is a really fun – Troy gets Southern Miss game, third week of the year. I think this is kind of on the same level where you've got two programs that, for the last probably 15 years or so, the last 5-6 years, they're kind of same level. I know SMU went through some stuff, went through some stuff earlier a couple years back. But Ark State, we talked to them about what are they going to do post Justice Hansen. They don't seem to be worried. They've got a kid by the name of Logan Bonner that they don't think they're going to skip a beat with him. And to be honest with you, I don't think they will either. They still have Marcel Murray as their running back, who we talked about him earlier. I think he's not necessarily the breakout player of the year because he was freshman of the year last year. That kid's a stud. I mean, he's just a stud. And you got Kirk Merritt and Dahu Green. Dahu Green, we're going to see a healthy Dahu Green wide receiver for them this year. Dahu Green used to be at Oklahoma.
I thought he was out for week one.
I don't think he is.
That'll make a difference.
You tell me. Kirk Merritt, even if Green's out, Kirk Merritt's still there. They've just got so many playmakers, and I think the defense will be just as good. Their nose tackle is massive in the middle. I like Arkansas State in this one. I know SMU's got a Texas transfer as their starting quarterback right now, Shane Bichelle. But I like Arkansas State. Is it at A State?
Yes.
So they get a little home field advantage as well. So I'm going to go Arkansas State in this one.
The fans go Arkansas State as well. They go Arkansas State 65%. I am going to take the other side. I'm going to take SMU and Shane Bichelle. I looked into it this bit today, and they returned so much. They returned just as much as Arkansas State did last
SMU.
Year. Yeah. Okay. They their top seven receivers, including the running back, only one of them left. Only one of them, I think, graduated. Their number two and three running rushers are back in the backfield. They've got Shane Bichelle, who beat out the other quarterback to take this spot. It's a Texas transfer. From what we saw,
Bichelle was good at Texas.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. I wouldn't compare him. I would compare his trajectory to Blake Barnett, mm-hmm. but not necessarily his talent level.
Yeah.
But it's an experienced quarterback, a good transfer quarterback with a bunch of weapons out there. Keep an eye on him at least. And I think that SMU defense stands tall.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good pick. I mean, all right.
I think it's going to be a shootout.
We split it, which I like. Oh, yeah, I would definitely. I'd love to see what the over-under is on this game. I don't have it up in front of me right now. But I think it is a shootout. Let's move to Georgia State and Tennessee.
What is there to say?
It's tough. I mean, you got to root for Georgia State, but they just kind of, the wheels just fell completely off this team last year. And they don't have Penny Hart this year, which we talked about might be a great thing for them.
They have Dan Ellington.
They do have Dan Ellington.
The one thing they have going for
them. And I think that's it. And that's the problem, is that you can't have one guy isn't going to beat Tennessee. It's just not going to happen. And Tennessee, they got Jeremy Pruitt in year two. I think Tennessee is going to be a much improved team. I think they could probably go 8-4 this year in the SEC, maybe 7-5, 8-4, right around in there. It's too much. You're in Knoxville.
I don't think this is the year for Tennessee, like they've been saying these past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But this ain't the year for Georgia State. And it's not going to be App State at Tennessee like it was 2 or 3 years ago.
No, I really think this one can get out of hand.
Fan vote, 93% Tennessee. I think we're all in agreement. Tennessee, let's go back to Louisiana. We've got the Georgia Southern Eagles are headed to Death Valley.
Gus!
Oh, yeah. Good old Gus.
Good old Gus headed to the bayou.
Mike the Tiger.
Yeah, to take on Mike the Tiger. I think he'll be flying away. What do you got on this game, buddy?
LSU has just continued to get better. Georgia Southern, they do have Shy Wertz. We did say that. I said we think he'll have him for week one, and they do. I mean, we talked about Georgia Southern earlier, how they beat Florida. We talked about, I think it's worth mentioning that they, the year they played Alabama, they were the one team that scored, I think, the most points on them or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crap through a tin horn, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the offense is that powerful, but I think you have to be more balanced going into Death Valley just to take on that defense. When Troy went in there and won, they were balanced. There was passing, there was rush running. But you're right. We did talk about this as well. You got to stick to what you're doing. I just think that LSU is too much improved. This is not the same LSU from 2 years ago, and it's just like this isn't the same Nebraska. I'm picking LSU. The fan vote says LSU 81%. Who you got?
Well, you know, ESPN's giving LSU a 96% chance to win this game. The spread's, Georgia Southern's at 27.5, so that's almost a four touchdown.
For Georgia Southern, it's almost 28-point spread.
Yeah.
So Georgia Southern, the team that went, they win 10 games last year? They at least won 9.
Yeah, I think they won 10. Pretty sure they won 10.
But they're coming into Death Valley with a 28-point underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I think that tells.
You know, I to be honest with you, I voted this. I voted Georgia Southern.
Yeah?
I voted for Georgia Southern on the Twitter poll.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to give them a little love. But the problem is that I think there's two ways they can respond to what has happened in the offseason. And that's dealing around Shy Wertz. I think they can be really motivated. Shy Wertz could be a game changer. Or I think all the Shy Wertz stuff was a lot to handle. I just don't think LSU's really good this year. I mean, they got Joe Burrow back. That kid, they haven't had a quarterback in like 10 years.
No.
And that's been the one thing. I don't get how LSU just hasn't been this powerhouse. I understand. They don't ever have a quarterback. Joe Burrow is that quarterback. They have a good offensive coordinator in there right now. They are just too much. Their defense is, if they will play sound football. I think Ogeron gets them to play sound football. It would be nice to see Georgia Southern cover. I think they do cover, because I think it goes back into what I was saying earlier, was that if you can control the clock, you can control.
You're absolutely right.
Just keep the game within grasp. And I think Georgia Southern's going to do a really good job at that. And so I would, I think it goes under, but I do think LSU wins, and I think Georgia Southern covers. But no, I'm gonna go LSU on my pick though, for sure, in this one. Just they did have like a 56 game win streak in Death Valley against non-con opponents. Like,
yep.
There was a reason for that.
Absolutely.
And this game's being played at 6:30 at night, so it is going to be a night game. In Death Valley, there's not very many teams that go in there and knock off LSU.
Took Troy three times.
Yeah, took us a lot. So, Man, we're really big Troy homers on this episode. But no, I just don't think Georgia Southern has the firepower.
Well, I'll tell you right now, before we get to our last pick, and before we leave the Sun Belt, I really don't think Troy wins the Sun Belt this year. I think it's App State all the way. I mean, it's what?
I don't know where this came from. Okay, I wasn't prepared
Well, I'm defending my reasonability.
Oh, us bringing up Troy.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, because we talk about them a lot. It's our frame of reference, but there are so many other points of view that could be taken here. No, I don't. For all that I love my alma mater, I mean, I'm gonna be realistic. I don't see us getting to the championship game. But now let's leave the Sun Belt just for a little bit. Go to Tallahassee. We got Boise State versus Florida State. Quite possibly the group of five matchup of the weekend. I like Boise State in this. I'm taking them. The fans taking them 71%. Just because it doesn't feel like it would be an upset for them to win as good as they are on the regular. They've had winning seasons of at least what, 8 wins for the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
It's an incredible run.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to stick with Boise State. I really feel like Florida State's coming into this not as the underdog, but they got to know that they're coming up against a team that they should not take lightly.
I want to pick Boise State. I really do. But Willie Taggart, second or whatever, third year. I think Boise State loses. They don't have Brett Ripien anymore. They're starting a new quarterback. I mean, Boise State's ready for anybody. But here's the thing. People are ready for Boise State. Nobody's overlooking Boise State anymore. Like, this is a legit game. Vegas has Boise State as a 5-point underdog going into Tallahassee. One, that's mad respect that they're only a 5-point underdog as a group of 5
team. Florida State gets 3 points for being a home
just
team.
Just being home. ESPN's giving Florida State 71% chance to win. The over-under, 52 right now. I think Florida State, you know, they had a transfer with Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin, but they just named James Blackman, the guy who started a lot last year, as the starting quarterback. I think that was probably Willie Taggart's best decision. Alex Hornibrook is a good quarterback, but Alex Hornibrook came from a program in Wisconsin where he was not – it's Wisconsin. They run the ball. They have huge O-linemen that make holes that Mack trucks could fit through. He doesn't have to be relied on. In Florida State's offense, the quarterback is always that guy. Like, you always remember, okay, Florida State quarterback. Like, he's the game changer. I don't think Alex Hornibrook was that guy, so I'm really glad that they didn't pick him. I think that was the worst thing that happened for Boise State, because I think James Blackman is a – we're still talking about Florida State here. They've had top 5 recruiting classes, top 10 recruiting classes for the past 5 years now. Like, talent-wise, they still have Boise State beat. But Boise State, trickery. Yeah, Chris Peterson isn't there, but Boise State's going to bring out some sort of trickery in this game, and they're going to keep it close. I don't think they cover. I think Florida State wins this ball game just because of it being in Tallahassee. And I, even after seeing what Boise State did last year, but I also saw what Boise State did against Oklahoma State last year, and they turned the ball over a lot. They made a lot of dumb mistakes. I just think Florida State being in Tallahassee, first game of the year, 6 p.m. kickoff. I'm going to go Florida State with this one. And I think I only picked – I don't think I picked a single group of five team. I just – none of these matchups this week, I don't feel like – I really want to pick Georgia Southern just because that would be amazing.
The only group of five team you picked was the one where you had no other choice.
Yeah, no other choice. But it's just South doesn't stack up very well. UL, if like we said earlier, if UL can control the clock, they got a chance. But I just – Florida State, Boise State was a lot closer. I really wanted to pick Boise State. I kind of picked Florida State because you picked Boise State, to be honest with you. Wanted to do a little flip-flop there.
That's
so, but, no, I went against the G5. But it's just – it's tough. You're going on the road. You got to be a good team to go in there. You got to be a complete team. Boise State, maybe if they had Brett Ripien going in there, that would have been a different ballgame. But they don't have a 4-year starter like they did last year. So,
Well, that wraps it up. We have some, obviously we have the other teams and other games like Troy Campbell, for which you can go see my, you can go see my breakdown of the Campbell.
Oh yeah.
Team. It's on Trojan Wall.
Good breakdown. The Campbell Camels.
That's right.
The Fighting Camels, right?
You can see Scott Watkins break down the Troy depth chart. Both of those articles are available on the Trojan Wall, our sister site for Troy. We've got Eastern Michigan's playing Coastal.
Eastern Michigan's at Coastal, ETSU at App State, and finally Grambling at UL Monroe. And then we have Texas State and Texas A&M on Thursday night. Probably by the time you're listening to us, that game would have been wrapping up or had been finished. It's just that it's a tough week for Sun Belt.
Absolutely.
A lot of tough games.
Either you get your FCS team now that you can go ahead and start like working pounding. Out. Yeah, pounding. Yeah. Or you've got a huge
got a money game.
Huge money game.
Yeah. So hopefully I'd love to see one upset. If
just one.
If we could get one out of this
one
week.
Sun Belt upset.
I mean, we've got the SEC on tap. We got the Big Ten on tap. We've got
that's pretty much it.
Basically the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, if one of those games can fall the right way, I'll be happy if I'm wrong. So, another great week of show. Obviously, you can follow us on a lot of things. Twitter, OG Bench Boys.
At the OG Bench Boys on
Twitter. At the OG Bench Boys. Colin Cahill for some of my bad takes. The greatest
Thomas
takes.
Thomas Gleaton for they're not the greatest. Please be honest.
Trying to help you out.
I appreciate it, but you can read my awesome analysis on the Trojan Wall. Just giving that little shout out there.
And I mean, while you're here, hit that subscribe button. Obviously, if you want to be able to keep listening, and then obviously make your picks this week. We got the Pick'em Challenge again.
We've got the polls on Twitter. We got the Google Sheets, the links floating around Twitter as well. If you have a question for us, if you want to ask us something about the season that's coming up, or you just want some stats or something, send us a call into the Bench Boys hotline. That's 413-400-BOYS, 413-400-2697. I'm running out of stuff to talk about.
We got nothing, so it's as simple as just...
let's go watch some football.
And come on back.